Hello and welcome to the Bot Nirvana podcast, where we dive into all things software automation. I'm your host, Nandan Mullakra. While I'm not podcasting, I write articles on nandan.info. I hope you enjoy the show. Let's get right into it. We have Ricardo Enriquez on our Digital Automation podcast today. Ricardo is a business transformation leader who leads an intelligent automation program with more than 100 bots that's driven by process mining at EDP. In this chat, we discuss the details of the program, including the federated model, the technology ecosystem, the change management program, and more. Let's listen in. Hi, Ricardo Enriquez. Welcome to the Bot Nirvana podcast. It's awesome having you today. Can we start with a quick introduction about yourself?
Thank you very much. Also, Nadam, it's always a pleasure to share experience with you and also to learn also with you and your project. So also congratulate your work. It's always a pleasure to be here, and thanks for having me. So starting with my background, a quick introduction from my side. So I have, my name is Ricardo Henriques. I'm based in Lisbon, Portugal. I have 25 years of professional experience related with the information technology roles, not only as a service provider, also consulting. And in the last 10 years in a management role where I'm leading in EDP Comercial, and that is the retail business company of EDP, an energy company with presence in more than 20 different countries all over the world. And my role is related with business enablement and transformation, which covers five different areas. So digital acceleration, business process management, knowledge management, process automation, and also process intelligence. It's a great pleasure to be here with you.
Likewise, great to have you, Ricardo. And awesome that you're dealing with multiple phases or multiple facets of digital automation. It'll be great to understand about your intelligent automation program and journey at EDP. Can you share a bit with our listeners?
Yeah. So this is a journey where we start more or less 7 years ago, where we saw some of our BPO partners were providing their own services using software to mimic human operation interactions with the operational systems. So to explain a little bit how the journey was until now, we start with a silo-driven approach, only with the process automation in our focus. But today we have a very different approach, or an ecosystem-driven approach where different digital accelerators are working together. So we start in the very beginning exploring how the RPA solutions in the market could support our own operations. And we defined a governance model which we believed that was more aligned with our company culture. And that decision was through a federated model. I could explain a little bit later the details about this governance model. A couple years later, we also had the first awareness with the process mining technology, more or less 5 years ago. And finally, 3 years ago, we start also with the combination with the RPA, process mining, and also chatbots. So that is the reason that I'm now talking about an ecosystem where we have different digital accelerators that are integrated with the different kind of roles, but aggregating a lot more value when they are combined. So that was mainly our journey.
Oh, okay. Yeah, and you know, you've put in place an ecosystem, like you said, and that's been a learning. So you moved from, you know, just automation tools to an ecosystem of tools, and you've also put in frameworks in place. And I've heard from you multiple times, you're such a passionate proponent of a federated model. So can you tell us about your federated model, how you're structured?
Yeah. So after having that kind of evaluation, we decide that is a decision that is not so easy to take, because when you decide to have a centralized model, in a very fast way, you could subcontract people and put all the efforts to generate the first automation solution. So this is a different path. So our option was to have a COE central team, where the E is not a center of excellence, but is a center of enablement. So the idea...
Center of what?
Center of enablement.
So, enablement, okay. Okay.
So the idea is to enable the excellence mm-hmm. to the other teams. So to create all the conditions required to the intelligent automation community work, giving the technical guidance and the best practices with the main goal of enabling center of automations. So our central team is like generating different center of automations that are mm-hmm. In our support functions or in our operations. So today we create a community that currently has more than 20 people working in different levels of maturity. So some of them are fully working with the intelligent automation ecosystem, but other ones are just right now starting the initial baby steps, and the other ones are in the middle of this journey. So it's like a heterogeneous environment, so with different kind of experiences, and our central team is supporting with different approaches these different maturity levels of our intelligent automation teams. With this approach, we have our operations with the daily problems working in their own solutions, which accelerates all the cycle time of the deliveries. So is a little bit different relation when you have someone that is only requesting solutions and another entity that is only providing. So this is giving a lot of focus to all our teams. So they are completely driving value for specific business problems. So we don't have that kind of challenges of, we need to identify new opportunities to automate a specific task or an activity or even a process end-to-end. Because the intelligent automation is being impregnated in the daily life of our operations.
Oh, yeah, I like that. I love what you said there, that you're basically enabling a culture of automation within the organization. And I think you said two terms there, which is great, which is center of enablement. Center of excellence seems like a very bombastic term, right? Yeah, you're more of a center of enablement. And you actually spin up center of automations within the organization, which is actually dispersing the automation within the organization so that each of them are empowered to do their automation themselves. So that's very interesting. And so the center of automation, so you said people are at different phases of their journey. So can you share with us a typical journey? You said some of them are just starting out. So what's a typical journey of how a center of excellence automation is spun up and how it matures?
So that will depend the efforts that team will take. So if we start with some new RPA champion in a specific department that is with more allocation to this topic, is completely different compared with the other ones that are practicing, but with not so much time on that. So I think this is the first key success factor that will change all the shape between our different departments. And what happened in specific cases is the intelligent automation portfolio grows a lot. So when you have like 20 or 40 automated solutions live, you need to have not only one person, but even more people, not only to develop new solutions, but also to maintain all that that portfolio. So after some time, this center of automations are being created regarding the portfolio that they have to develop and also to maintain. We know that there is some functions and activities that are more easy and quick to start this intelligent automation journey, and other ones a little bit more difficult. But the main point here is to create the conditions to have this this mission with the right conditions to launch them, and also to support all that that mission, because growing the maturity and the experience is also something that is highly demanding from our central team, because we need to support them not only regarding the technical skills with a specific technology, but also with the best practices. They have also access to specific standard libraries that they could share even some components between them. And now we are reaching a phase where we are seeing our community like a self-supported community, because when you have more than 20 people that are working in this environment, sometimes they have some difficulties, some challenges, and they also support
they support each other,
which is very interesting, because in the very beginning it was our team that was supporting them, and now they are also supporting each other, which is very interesting.
Yeah, and you know, it's like a flywheel, right? Once the flywheel starts moving, then it becomes easier on your digital enablement journey, and you know, it's all a lot of learnings also along the way. So you mentioned that you have you know, in some, for some departments it's easier and some it's harder. So is it possible to share which were the easy ones and, you know, maybe some wins that you can share with people?
Yeah. So I think that the most obvious ones are the ones that have a strong relation with the operations. So operations like back office operations, front office operations, for example, contact centers, branch offices where we have the customer care kind of processes. In that area is easier to start.
Right.
Other functions that are a little bit more far away of this kind of technology, for example, if you want to start with the marketing or sales team, is a little bit more
difficult,
different, more difficult. But currently, we have, for example, in our sales operation, also very interesting solutions where we are even supporting the sales force that we have in the field with the chatbots combined with RPA, for example.
So you've established a framework with a federated model, which seems to be working very well, and I think is something for people to learn from. And so let's move on to the ecosystem that you spoke about. And I know a lot of people would be very interested to listen about your intelligent automation ecosystem. So you did mention, I think, RPA, chatbots, process mining. So how does your ecosystem look like and how did that evolve?
Yeah, that also start with the privilege that I have to manage both realities, because I was in charge not only for the RPA program, but also process mining. And,
yeah.
And that is one key success factor, because it's the same team, is the same head that is creating all these conditions. But when we talk about ecosystem, this ecosystem is like an intelligent operations ecosystem, where we have inside of this ecosystem different kind of digital accelerators. We mentioned RPA, chatbots, process mining, but we could also introduce another ones like even the BPM tools or the AI ML cognitive services, or even another components that we are plugging in this ecosystem. For example, the IDP, that is
right.
Also a growing area. And the idea of this ecosystem is to understand if I need to transform my business, and could not be only automate a specific process. Could be how can I transform the customer experience, or even our customer employee in a specific journey. And every use case that we have, we try to combine those digital accelerators. Sometimes we need chatbots, for example, and other times we don't need. But the very interesting topic here is, for example, if we compare a new automated solution where the initial insights came from process mining data and analysis. And that is a topic that we could explore later, but it is very interesting to compare when we create a new automation only with the inputs from human perceptions or human knowledge about how the process is being executed, compared with the data analysis that we did, for example, with process mining. But here I'm anticipating the question regarding the importance of the process mining in digital transformation journey. Yeah, if you want to, I could go ahead.
Yeah. Go. Let's since you head both RPA and process mining. Yeah, let's talk about how process mining is important to automation.
Yeah, because in our case, in fact, we start with the RPA and we had the first contact with process mining after. But the lesson learned here, where when we are transforming our business through digital, process mining has a lot of impact because we consider that process mining is like the heart of the continuous improvement program. So we are in a daily basis censoring our business, identifying our process exceptions, and also doing all the analytics to try to improve our operational performance. So if we turn off that component, the ecosystem will be highly impacted without that very important, and I think that is like the a base to the digital transformation journey, and also this is the digital accelerator that we are using also to give value to the other ones. So because when we identify a new opportunity to automate that comes from process mining, or if we will design a new chatbot script based on things that we learned from process mining, the lesson learned is that inputs are giving value to the other digital accelerators. So when we combine them, the impact on the business is even higher. And the interesting part is that you could also confirm after implementing this kind of transformations with process mining if you are having or not that impact. Because sometimes we are introducing a specific robot doing this or doing that, but we are not seeing what is happening before that activity of the robot or even after. And with this process mining approach, we could censoring all the cycle and understand all the phases.
So from just for the listeners to understand a bit better, were you able to give a specific example of process mining to automation?
Yes.
Or anything, or process mining to any digital evolvement. Yeah.
Yes. It's very interesting because the relation between process mining and automation could be in both ways. So we could use process mining to identify specific part of the process or even a specific process that could be automated. But we could also have the process mining giving us some process exceptions that are occurring, and RPA could add value automatically handling and the treatment of that cases, which is a very interesting combination, because in the past we did some operational alarms where we had process mining censoring these process exceptions, and after that we have human operators that are trying to handling in a repetitive work the treatment of each case. So here we could combine both, and that is a very interesting approach.
So apart from process mining, we spoke about AI. Any specific AI things that you find interesting in your ecosystem?
Yeah, regarding AI, we did both combinations with RPA. So combining RPA with the NLP or NLU to do some text analytics. When we have some RPA with non-structured input, for example, emails or things like that, that was a very impactful combination. And the other one is combining RPA with the computer vision capabilities also, not only to deal with the IDP solutions, but also when we need, for example, to analyze specific images in a very industrialized way, that even before that, we have a bunch of human agents that are doing the same. So I think that both combinations that are very impactful.
All right, exciting journey there, Ricardo, in terms of both your ecosystem as well as your frameworks. I just wanted to ask you two questions on the frameworks as well as the ecosystem. So let's start with the frameworks. So if you were to start all over again, I still think you'll go with the federated model because I know you love the federated model. But just looking back, is there anything you would do differently, some learnings that you want to share with the listeners?
Yeah. No, regarding the federated model, I think for specific organizations and considering the culture of the company, that could not be the best approach.
Okay.
So, I think that we have here two main topics that with lessons learned and that I do in a different way. If I had that. Option. The first one is starting with the process mining and then starting with process automation. Only because I think that we have a different
approach,
a different value, sustainability to the program. The other one, and is not related with the technology, but is also very important, and many times we forget this kind of component, that is include change management investments into the scope of the initiative. And why? Because we could have all the technology experts creating these kind of solutions, but we know that sometimes to introduce this business transformation, the change management is also a very important support line of work in this kind of initiative. So with some aggregated value. So those are the things.
Oh, yeah. So have you started change management? And if so, can you share some, you know, how you're doing it? And, you know, what's your learning from change management?
Yeah. Regarding change management, I learned that is a very important topic. When we felt the requirement to have a methodology to capture value. So because we have technology, we have knowledge that is technical and functional about our processes, but we missed the third layer, that has to have a methodology where we could start looking for a specific opportunity to transform our business, and after frame all the value that we could or not introduce. And after that, having an improvement plan to that specific use case and track finally the real value that we are capturing. So it's like a PDCA cycle. But I think in this cycle, the change management is very important to have some people of the team that is in charge of this component.
PDCA, plan, do, check, act. Yeah. perfect. So I think you've gained a lot of knowledge over this journey. So, have you come across some good resources on digital transformation that you want to share with us?
Regarding that, I'm a little bit suspect to share with the audience this book. I recommend a Process Mining in Action book from Dr. Lars Brankemeyer, where we have all the theoretical and the more conceptual part explaining what is process mining, how to put in place, and the main challenges, but also a list of real world use cases from some best in class worldwide companies that give that journey of process mining. And I think that is an important resource to study when we are looking to the digital performance.
All right, Ricardo, thanks for being on the show today. Where can people find and connect with you?
Okay, so I think that you can find me in the LinkedIn platform, so Ricardo Henrique, and I'm completely available to chat with you and share some experience and also to learn with all of you also.
Okay, all right. Thank you, Ricardo. I'll leave a link to your LinkedIn profile in the show notes. So again, thank you very much, Ricardo. It was great having you today.
Okay, thank you very much, Nanda.
Thank you for joining the Bot Nirvana podcast. Appreciate if you can leave a review on iTunes or Stitcher. Catch the show notes on botnirvana.org. While you're there, feel free to explore more automation ideas, tutorials, tools, and more. See you next time.